guys, I'm Nikki.
And I'm Heather.
And I'm Stacy.
And we're your hosts of Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes.
Quick disclaimer. We are not experts nor detectives. All information provided in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. They are no reflection of Loco Network or any affiliated sponsor. We talk murder and have foul mouths, so listener discretion is highly advised.
How are we feeling?
I'm doing good.
Good?
Ready.
Doing good.
All right.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. So I think it's pretty jam-packed. So let's just, we have a tragic beginning, but it's, I mean, I guess you could say happy ending is happy as it can get.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Right. I don't know if I'd call it happy, but I mean, I guess a good ending.
Somewhat.
But like we said in our intro, as we get into our research and we continue to expand, we do all kinds of digging, and we discussed that we wanted to talk about the women's prisons and the system and everything along those divisions. So we definitely did some digging and dove into that. So I guess you guys just want to jump right into it?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, let's get it.
Let's do it.
All right. So we have two main prisons here in Missouri. The Missouri Department of Corrections, the Women's Eastern Correctional Center, which is actually in Vidalia, Missouri. And then we also have Missouri State Penitentiary, which is located in Jeff City. Digging into both of them, I was super excited to find out that we can plan a visit. Mm. So I think we should do that. How do we feel about that?
To Jeff City?
Yes. Okay. Hell yes.
Is this the ghost one that I've heard about?
Well, you can do ghost ones. You can do ghost ones. You can do tours of the like prison itself, the cells.
That would be cool.
Honey, you can do that in the ghost one.
Yeah. I was super, super excited. When I seen that, it was like, sign up for a tour. I was like, what?
And it's overnight.
This. Yeah.
It's
so
badass.
I think we should definitely, that's something to put in the books that we're going to do.
We're going to have to give her a binky.
I was going to say, we're going to have to bring her a binky.
Yeah, I don't like the scary, but I'll do it. It'll be fun.
Her ass in a cell.
Oh,
close the door.
No, that right there is what scares me.
Too small.
Right.
But then we also have the Missouri Federal Prison, which is located in Springfield, Missouri. So they're all, Missouri-related, obviously, because that's what we're here to talk about. But nearly, 152,000 federal offenders. Only about 7% of those are women.
So we're talking, like, a very small percentage overall, though.
Yeah, well, and we're talking in the federal prison. So, So this is kind of focusing on the federal aspect of it. But
I mean, very small number of women in the other prison. I mean, in the state prisons, because we only have two women prisons.
Yeah, so like in like prison in general, they represent like less than 2% of the 3,500 inmates on death row are women. So it's still not a high percentage.
Still a super low number, though.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I wonder what the thought process is behind that. Why women, are they maybe not tried as much? Or that's interesting to me, because that's a huge difference.
Right. Well, yeah. And I do think the percentage is kind of, in some of the research I did, it definitely broke it down a little bit. And I think I have that set for us to kind of talk about.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, the 7% is for the federal, which is why I kind of wanted to put that out there. And then 2%, as far as death row goes, is the percentage of women. But there's a difference between state and federal, and a lot of people don't understand what that difference is. So the federal prison is where, like, people who have committed federal crimes, cross the state borders, or they committed a crime against the government. Even mail fraud, identity theft, child porn, kidnapping.
Federal prisons are like the cushy prisons,
yes,
right?
Yeah. So,
like, if you go to prison, you want to go to federal.
Right. Exactly. I mean, no prison's cushy, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it becomes a crime, like a federal offense, when it violates basically the U.S. federal law. But state prison is where, like, people have violated the individual law, obviously, of that state. So your everyday petty theft, robberies, arsons. But it does include murders and rape.
So they can be in both. They can be in federal and state.
Yeah, so like, they commit a murder here in Missouri, but they didn't cross into Kansas. So it's not technically a federal.
Until
it's not
they cross over state lines.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Unless they committed the crime and it had something to do with like a politician's daughter or something. So therefore it falls into federal offenses. Okay. Now, some sources say, like you said, the federal prison is more accommodating and clean because it's ran off of federal funding. Mm. So whereas state prisons, they run off tax money generated. So you get pulled over, your tax money, everything everybody always complains about is, you know, that's what our state prisons are ran off of. excuse me. There's so much of this that we could like literally get into as far as the prison system goes, which
the difference between the two.
Right. And we have so much to do. So we definitely will, I'm sure at some point, cover everything. But the important thing I wanted to share was the facts about the federal, because it actually is a huge part of the case we're going to talk about today. It actually takes place in the federal prison. According to the U.S. Bureau of Prison Records, the first federal female execution, there was two of them. They both took place in 1953. And Ethel Rosenberg, she was sent to the electric chair, and a Bonnie Brown Hetty, who was sent to the gas chamber.
was in 1953.
Now, there was one that I didn't find a whole lot of info, but it was in like 18 something. So I don't know how accurate that one is, right. But the two that are actually listed are from 1953.
Now, are these the only two
women on federal executions?
Up until the person we're going to talk about today.
Correct. Okay. Yep. So there's a spokesperson for the Death Penalty Information Center that stated women rarely get the death penalty in murder cases because it usually involves someone they know or some kind of domestic issue.
That's what I was wondering about the percentage being so low. Is it more because it's a personal thing with women?
Or? And I think it's got a lot to do with the way they spin it, too. Because, I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, for women, really we do have a lot of... You know, we can play it up for the domestic, and the lawyers always go after sanity. Mm-hmm. And so I think that could be why.
None of us are sane.
Yes. But since then, there's not been another female federally executed up until January 2021, which is what leads us into Lisa Montgomery. So that's
January 21, that year, I mean, that's recent.
Yeah.
That was just a month ago. Yeah, that's super recent.
So
you're talking, this is post-COVID, whatnot.
Yes. And actually, she was the first federal execution since COVID. She was one of the first ones that was done.
Hmm.
But again, that leads us into Lisa Montgomery. So Lisa Montgomery was born on February 27th, 1968, to parents Judy and John. She was known as a smart girl who read a lot and was known for telling tall tales. Oh, apparently I can't read. She even told people her father had died in Vietnam when her parents separated. So, yeah. Her mother had stated, though, in her later years, she seemed to be like a habitual liar. She would act out. She was just constantly telling stories. And she even made it sound like she almost had like two personalities at times. But her mother had remarried a man named Jack, which she then had three sons with. It is said that her mother, Judy, wasn't the greatest mother figure to begin with. She's described emotionally distant, very temperamental, very uncleanly. So
doesn't sound like she was enjoying the mother role.
Right, right.
Yeah, and bowed with the kids.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm. But what to make it even worse was when Lisa was 15, her mother came home and caught Lisa and her stepdad having sex.
Mm.
So this grown man is with this 15-year-old and the mother hasn't done anything.
And the mom knew that it was going on?
Yes.
When she walked in, she found it.
Yes.
Oh.
And then
To make it even worse.
Rumor has it, she held a gun to Lisa and told Lisa if she were to tell anyone, she would kill her.
Oh my goodness.
And then stuff started happening with both parents.
But we'll get to that. So it apparently, though, had also turned out that he had been molesting her since she was 12 years old. Mm. So obviously her childhood was fucked up, which naturally carried on to her adult life. But I want to introduce this info because at the end, I actually want to read this little info because at the end, I want to find out how you guys feel after hearing everything about what she did. I just want to see if you guys believe, like, if it should have changed her death sentence. So I want to say this, and I want you just to hold on to it like a little tic-tac.
Okay.
And think about it as we read on.
You know, it's hard for me. Like, when I get a thought, it just comes out.
I know. So, okay, I'm going to read this. It's from the Rolling Stones article. It states that it wasn't until after her sentencing that a new legal team began to uncover the horror that had led to her life. Details that likely would have kept her from ever facing the death penalty in a capital case was not presented. An investigator later dug into her background and revealed all this trauma, mental trauma, abuse trauma, anything that could have helped the jury understand, like, her as a human being was not presented to them. So according to her mother's interviews, there was like a separate room built where in the back of the home where for years the stepdad, his friends would take Lisa and rape her as a young teenager.
Even
urinating on her.
Oh my goodness.
So her mother forced her. Her mother then forced, like you said, put a gun to her, told if she told anybody, basically forced her to pay bills and forced her to prostitute.
And then it got to the point where if they needed household stuff done, like electrical, the mother would bring in electrician and say, well, you know, here's my daughter.
She was pimping her daughter out.
Here's my daughter. You can have her for da-da-da-da-da time if you fix our electric.
Yes.
Yeah, so, she's still like
she's still teenage.
Okay.
Yeah. So at 18. Like,
still, okay.
She married her stepbrother. Which also...
Hold on, time out. Okay, so stepbrother being Jack.
Came home from the military.
Okay, so being Jack, the one that her mom remarried and was molesting her.
Yes.
His son.
From a prior marriage.
At 18, she married him.
And he was 26.
Okay.
And now the
That family tree just did the snake twist.
But it all continued. The rape, the abuse, everything continued. You know, it would even be videotaped. But her legal team like found that she was beaten so badly, she ended up having a brain injury.
Goodness.
Yeah. So she was a victim of sex trafficking, abuse. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, temporal lobe epilepsy, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Dissociative disorder, psychosis, and traumatic brain injury.
So she had all of this like as diagnosed medical conditions.
At her trial. But it was not in her sentence, and the jury did not hear it in her 2007 trial.
How does your attorney not fight to have that brought up?
It wasn't brought out in the first trial.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the first attorney seems to have failed her. But like I said, I wanted to put that out there. So now you have that opinion. But as we continue to go on,
supposed to hold that in as a tic-tac.
I want to know if your opinion changes. Okay. So where was that? Okay. So I read. Yeah. Okay. Got it. My bad. She then had 4 kids with her stepbrother during that marriage. On her last child, though, the doctors recommended that she have her tubes tied. She later states that her mother and her husband forced her to have her tubes tied.
I don't doubt that.
But overall, it was done. So
they deny it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but she was also known to be super distant and, I mean... uninvolved with her
just
kids.
Like her mom.
Yeah,
yes,
emotionally like her mom. She became very unattentive to her home, her children, to the point to where they say she literally had a trash room. Like hoarders. Like, she literally had a fucking trash room in her house.
To where, like, that's...
Like, they didn't take out the trash. They put it in the room.
Instead of taking it outside, they put it in a room.
Yes. Her husband eventually filed for divorce, and she, again, remarried. She would go on to make claims of being pregnant. She claimed she got... She would either claim she got rid of it, she miscarried. She claimed she donated a baby to science one time. But her husband at the time didn't question much because he didn't want another child, nor did he know that she had her tubes tied. So he didn't know that she was lying. He was just like, okay, whatever.
okay.
That's the way everything seems. He was just like oblivious to everything.
Yeah, they say he was real, like, naive. That family told him that she had had her tubes tied.
And he was like, yeah, she would never do that.
Right. Mm. She wouldn't lie to me. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
You know, he was hook, line, and sinker.
He had children from a prior marriage. He didn't want anymore.
Right. But when she had claimed to be pregnant again, her ex-husband was actually filing for custody at the time for their four kids. So mm-hmm. when she had claimed to be pregnant, he was like threatening, like he was going to use that basically against her. Like, you're not pregnant. You're cuckoo crazy. And you're making this shit up.
Yep.
So it's said that that could be one of the reasons why she eventually did what she did, you know, to in fact show that she was able to produce a baby. Like, when he admitted to out her, you know, she was like, shit, I gotta get a baby.
Right.
Like, so, but all of this brings us to our victim, who is Miss Bobby Jo Stinnett of Skidmore, Missouri. She was born December 4th, 1981.
That's kind of close to someone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just a little.
Honey, that's closer to you.
Okay,
maybe. She's exactly okay, well, either way,
y'all are both older,
me.
And right. It's not near me.
She's a year younger than me.
But, yeah, so this happened in Skidmore, Missouri, which I'm sure most people don't even know what the hell Skidmore is.
Where the hell it is, right.
It's a super, super small town. Heather's over here.
Snorted.
Okay, so it's a super small town. It has a population of, like, a shopping mall.
Right.
Okay. Literally, like, 250 people.
Nice.
In this
fucking
town.
And still today, it's really, really tiny.
Yeah. Like, actually known for Kenrex McElroy. He was, like, a notorious resident out there. In the 60s and 70s, they called him the Skidmore Boogeyman.
Oh.
But he was, like, known for literally, like, raping the residents and children and polygamy.
Having
like
children
decades.
With them. Yeah, for
2 decades.
Just because it was a small town, he was just kind of hanging out there and doing whatever he wanted.
He was there from birth or something like that. And they were all scared of him. You know, he robbed places. Took people's kids and, you know, turned them into his little wife, got them pregnant, sent them back
home. But afterwards, they had, a mob of people basically killed him in the street, and nobody ever admitted to who did it. Like, they all
first rule of Fight Club, we don't talk about Fight Club.
They were like, let's get this motherfucker out of here, and nobody's going to say
anything. 38 of them in the middle of town square or whatever it was killed him.
We're not.
There was 38 of them that seen it happen, and no one will talk to this day.
We're not advocating for vigilante justice.
This town is also known for just... There was a mysterious disappearance that happened there. There was a woman who was beaten in the streets by her boyfriend there.
And this is only 250 people.
Yeah. So
that's a lot.
Obviously, everybody knows everybody, but two of the main crimes that have happened there actually were related to Bobby Jo. So it's a small town, 250 people, and shit just goes down. Hmm. It's actually on the list of creepiest cities in Missouri, creepiest places
there.
In Missouri.
I believe
that. It's actually on a list for it. So.
It's like you go crazy when you get there.
I feel like...
That's what I said. Is it in the water? Is it
So
in the soil or something.
Okay. So let's get... I want to circle back. We kind of got off track. I feel like I do this a lot. Bobby Jo Stinnett, born December 4th, 1981. Everything you can seem to find about her in her early years, I mean, it just screams how sad it is that she lost her life so young and how she lost her life. She was described as a shy child. She seemed to break out of her shell in high school, though. She attended Nottoway Holt High School in Graham, Missouri. Again, Never heard of it. Graham, Missouri is. It's fun, though, because learning about all these towns, like, you start looking it up, and it's like, shit, I never even knew these places existed here. But she did cheerleading. She was in yearbook club. She graduated high school in 2000 as an honor roll student. Throughout high school, I'm sorry, what?
No, just good. I mean,
yeah. So she kind of came out of her shell.
Good, yeah, good grades.
Yeah. She definitely seemed to just kind of come out of her shell and become one with herself. She dated a man named Zeb Stennett, who she later married in 2003. So high school sweethearts, got married out of high school.
Oh,
I know, right? So in 2002, though, she had a little rat terrier that had become pregnant, and it just kind of spawned her love for breeding from there on. She decided soon that she wanted to start a home business that she eventually named Happy Haven Farms, which I found the info after I asked you. I was like, I know, I've seen it. But she hit the ground running. She attended dog shows. She did online forums. She became huge in the terrier breeding quickly. I mean, by 2004, her freaking business was booming.
Right.
Sounds like she enjoyed it, though. It was something she enjoyed. She loved her dog.
Yeah, something she really did. Yeah. And then she, you know, like I said, in 2004, it started booming. And then that spring, she found out she was pregnant. So it was like,
life's going good. Yeah.
Life's like, oh, it's fun, you know? So.
All right, so let's see here.
That's when
Ratter Chatter. Yeah, what that is
that? That was like her forum chat group she had with about the little terriers and.
Yeah, so she had started on her website and stuff like that. She had created a chat room called Ratter Chatter.
Okay.
Where all the people would come together and they talk about the dogs.
So it was like a like community.
Though. Yeah,
it was
right. Like a little online community. Okay.
You know, they would go to the dog shows, you know, and. You know, that's where she, like her whole community for the terriers was there.
Okay.
Yeah. So she expressed on there that she was pregnant.
Right.
Mm. So, you know, everybody in the community knew her. They were excited. They're like, yay, we're, you know, bringing a baby in.
Well, not especially because community. I mean, you know.
Family, just everyone.
From miles and miles and miles away, you know, all over the United States.
Well, and I mean, I could see that for sure because it's puppies, you know, it's a dog giving birth. She's pregnant now, I could see that being a common thread to be talked about.
Uh-huh. Right.
But on this site is where she met a woman named Darlene Fisher, who also claimed to be pregnant. The two proceeded to connect. You know, Darlene expressed interest in buying puppies, as, you know, Lisa was having a litter. She was said to have, you know, being pregnant herself, so they obviously had stuff to talk about. She claimed that she lived in Fairfax, Missouri, so it was also close to Skidmore. So not they like dogs. They're both pregnant. They live close together. So, I mean they connected.
Definitely thinking friendship. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like they just formed a friendship. So, I mean, I'm assuming
probably
she didn't
around
think
the same age.
Right,
you know.
Sure, yeah.
She didn't think nothing of it.
Right. And you're talking new moms, like, that's awesome. Play date time, you know?
Right. But Darlene Fisher was, in fact, Lisa Montgomery. And she was not from Fairfax, Missouri. Mm. She was from Malvern, Kansas.
Plot thickens.
So, yeah. So, like we said, naturally, they began conversating. They set up an appointment for Darlene to meet Lisa at her house on December 16th, 2004, at Bobby Joe's residence, which, as a dog breeder, isn't unusual.
I've been to several different residences.
Well, most of the breeding happens at their home.
Absolutely. I mean, they have the kennels.
So, it's not uncommon. Yeah. But, so, they scheduled this appointment for December 16th. She arrived at 12:30. On December 16th, as planned. So everything seems to be normal. They play with the puppies. They're visiting, chatting. At about 2:30, Bobby received a phone call from her mother. Her mother, knowing that Bobby had a meeting with a buyer, she just basically called to verify that, you know, things were going okay, and she was still going to be able to pick her up from work at 3:30.
Just a check-in. Hey, I know you're meeting a stranger. How are you doing?
Is things going? Yeah. Well, and just
that mama stuff.
Right.
Exactly.
And, you know, you never know how the meetings... Oh, my Lord, have mercy. You never know how the meetings are going to go, so maybe she was running late, whatever. But that, right after that call is where things took a really bad turn, and I know I said it last podcast, and you guys gave me shit for it, but here's the hard part. We're going to start talking about it. Lisa strangled Bobby Joe till she was unconscious. Then she proceeded with a kitchen knife to cut into Bobby Joe's abdomen. Mm. This caused Bobby Joe to quickly regain consciousness, because obviously she felt what was going on. Mm. She did put up a fight. She really, you know, it's apparent that she tried to fight to save both her and her baby's lives.
Well, yeah, because now she's come to and she's fighting for her life and the child's life.
And at this point, she's already been cut open. Okay. So she's bleeding pretty freaking bad here.
Didn't she, get up? Like, they found blood on her
feet. Yeah, so they say she got up.
Hair in her hand.
She fought.
Yeah, she pressed. But then Lisa proceeded to freaking strangle her again.
With a shoestring or something, wasn't it?
It was a rope. They say it was a rope. I mean, or
crazy bitch.
Yeah. So she definitely, yeah. She tried to fight. She did put up a fight.
My face right? Can y'all see it? Because I feel it. I feel it.
I'm feeling hot.
It's raising. I feel it.
Yes. But she continued to strangle her, making sure that she was no longer alive. Mm-hmm. She continued to cut the baby from Bobby Joe's stomach, cutting the umbilical cord.
How the hell do you even know how to do that?
I mean, seriously, though,
So she cut the umbilical cord, and she just left Bobby Joe there lifelessly to bleed out. Nice. And that's the harshness of it. I mean, literally,
strangled her, cut her, grabbed the baby.
Yeah, no, remorse, no nothing. Just was like, okay, I'm out of here now. But when Bobby Joe never arrived to pick up her mom, you know, only worked a few blocks away. So she was like, okay, well, whatever. She walked there. When she entered the home, she found Bobby Joe lying there in the dining room. Mm. She immediately called 911 in sheer hysteria, stating that her daughter was 8 months pregnant and it looked like her stomach had just exploded.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So Bobby had 2 ligature marks on her throat and a jagged cut in her stomach displaying all her internal organs. She had blood on the bottoms of her feet and blonde hairs clutched in her hand, which, again, shows that she did, in fact, wake up during the struggle. She did
fight for her life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She did not go out without fighting. And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing about
that.
Have to wake up and it's just horrible from there on out. So we discussed, you know, how small Skidmore is. So naturally, small towns, emergency care departments, it's a half hour drive to Nottoway County. Right. So the nearest one is in Nottoway County, which is a half hour away. And if you know anything about small towns, you know that it's factual.
They ain't getting there anytime soon.
Right, yeah. Once the first responders arrived on scene, they quickly realized how bad things were. They could see that somebody had cut the umbilical cord. They knew exactly what this person had come there to do.
Yep.
So they knew that they had to work fast because Nottoway County actually borders Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska.
She could have been gone.
Realize that.
Yeah. So it borders.
She could have went anywhere.
Right. But Lisa at this point was driving with a baby who she had just brutally cut out of her mother's stomach. And she just proceeds to pull over, suction the baby's nose, wipe it with wet wipes, pinch the umbilical cord, pulls the car seat out of her trunk, and goes on about her business.
So she had absolute every intention.
She had it all planned out.
If she had a car seat, this was premeditated.
So she proceeds to drive to Topeka, Kansas, where she calls her husband. She stated that she had gone into labor while Christmas shopping. She went to a woman's clinic in Topeka, and she claimed she had the baby. So now she says, pick me up from a gas station located across the street from the clinic.
Oh, yeah, because none of this is odd to this man.
He did it. He picked her up, didn't ask any questions.
Okay.
They went home.
I don't even have words.
They went
for
home.
That.
They called family members. They announced that they had their daughter. They named her Abigail.
to the pastor and everything.
Yeah.
From what I have seen.
They named her Abigail. They took her home. They announced her to their family. They went out the next day to dinner, to breakfast or brunch or whatever.
I've heard two things. They went out to dinner after he met her at the gas station. And I've heard they went out to breakfast the next morning. And I've heard that they did both. So, you know, it's not really sure.
Think in my head of Jim, you know, leaving, being with me at the hospital for a couple days. Because normally you're there at least 2 days.
Well, you can check yourself out.
This was known for, it was just a women's clinic. It was known for, as long as everything was fine,
you could leave.
It was an in and out thing.
Yeah,
I know. And her husband did know that. So I think that's maybe why he didn't really, you know, I mean, he knew what it was. She even went online, though, to the Bratter Chatter group and announced that she had given birth.
Thinking no one's going to realize that this woman's no longer on Bratter Chatter.
Nobody at this point knows about Bobby Joe.
Mm.
Nobody knows about Bobby Joe yet. So she went online, she bragged on Bratter Chatter.
Or knows that she was playing two different people, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, they have no idea she's
so like
Lisa
Abigail, wasn't that, no, not, what was her name that she acted like?
Darlene.
Darlene. So, you know, Darlene was going to see Bobby Joe, but Lisa was
has
a
pregnant baby.
Chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so obviously they knew they had to work fast. So the Nottoway County Sheriff is just scrambling to locate this stolen child. He tried calling in an Amber Alert, but was denied because you have to have hair, color, eyes, weight. He had none of that. I mean, he had nothing to give them other than this child has been taken from her mother's stomach. So he was denied. He immediately started reaching out to hospitals, saying a child was in danger. Yeah, he did what he could. He reached out. He told them a baby was born.
Luckily, he didn't back down. I mean,
yeah, and he didn't. And that's seriously, like, he saved this baby's life.
I was going to say, someone has to speak for these.
Yeah.
Someone has to stop him.
And luckily he did.
He truly did. He was denied. It says, like, everywhere you read, it says he was denied the Amber Alert. He immediately started calling hospitals. He even went above and beyond as far as going
to a politician or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he went to, what is it? I can't even think of the name of it now. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. But he just went above and beyond. The district attorney. Trying to get this damn Amber Alert. So now, word obviously has gotten out about Bobby Joe's death. They took her computer and quickly, obviously, found the chat room meeting that was confirmed. So it immediately gave them a lead. But the email, the IP address, was tied to an email address, fisherforkids@hotmail.com.
Oh, isn't
so
that good?
So, Fisher for Kids.
Yeah, so, like,
Fishing for Kids?
Oh, my God!
Is like, what I got.
I just got
it.
For Kids?
That, oh, shit, I just got it.
I don't
it.
Like that,
like,
yeah.
How
that bitch
the
is
irony.
Nice.
Yeah, like, she even heard.
You know how many times I've read that damn email and just realized it?
No.
Yeah. It took me, like, two times, too. When I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, her last name's Fisher. And then
right.
I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
This is, like, morbid. So the next day, he reached out, like, again, he reached out to every resource possibly. He finally was granted an Amber Alert, but the only descriptions they could give was bloody clothes, towels, small infant, newly cut umbilical cord.
That's all they have.
So that's what they were saying, you know, look for this,
yeah.
and this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, they have nothing else.
They know nothing else.
Right.
But once they were able to do that, a member of the Ratter Chatter group actually called the police and gave them a tip that they needed to look into a lady in Kansas who had also stated that she had her baby the day Bobby Joe's daughter was taken.
If it seems weird, say something to someone.
Yeah, like, how can
they
we just...
comfy, don't get...
Seriously, like, if you're uncomfortable, it's...
There's a reason
there's
you're
a
uncomfortable.
Reason.
Right.
Listen,
like,
yeah.
There's a big reason you're feeling that feeling. Your intuition usually does not lie to you.
Yeah, normally.
So, they definitely tracked that lead. It led them to the IP address for the Fisher for Kids email. Which also then led them to a dial-up connection to the name...
Good old dial-up.
Yeah, I know, right? To the name Kevin Montgomery. in Melvern, Kansas. So they immediately know that this Montgomery name is connected to this Darlene lady.
So when the lady...
But at this point, they don't know Lisa yet. They just know Kevin Montgomery's name.
Okay, so I was going to say, did the when the lady told them, you know, about the chicken ratter chatter that had the baby the same day
she knows her as Darlene Fisher.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so nobody knows yet it's Lisa. It's just now we've tied it to a Kevin Montgomery, which leads them to Lisa. Obviously, they rush immediately to this freaking house. They walk in the door. They, at this point, again, have all the warrants they need. I mean, they literally have everything they need. They walk in, and she's holding the baby. Like
on the couch.
On the couch.
Oh, just chilling, holding my new baby.
She claimed it was hers when they walked in the door.
She was all telling them about and everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's like, a picture online.
It only took them 23 hours to locate this child. 23 hours. I'm telling you, if it would not have been for this freaking sheriff, yep. like, he really, really went above and beyond and yep. saved this baby's life.
Amazing.
She was taken to the hospital completely unharmed. She had a
scratch?
Yeah, she had a scratch over her eye.
Oh, my goodness. But isn't that because... She
did her research.
Yeah. So they did. They ran a DNA test. They confirmed that it was, in fact, Bobby Joe's daughter. She was arrested. Lisa was arrested. She did admit. Yeah.
She did. She told him. Okay.
To the police that she had done it. And then this is where we find out the police found on her computer that she had done internet searches about how to do a C-section.
I was going
to
ask, did she have medical background or anything?
No.
Because you said she clamped it. She did.
Yes. And they found all this on her computer.
She ordered the clamp and...
Wow.
She had been stalking Lisa. She had been tracking her pregnancy.
She had actually met her at...
A dog show.
At dog shows.
Yeah.
But used the name...
Darlene Fisher.
No, used the name Lisa. From my understanding. Did you understand it that way?
Mm-mm.
Because she knew her as Lisa at the dog shows, but knew her as Darlene.
She didn't want her to know it was Darlene at the actual dog show, is what you're saying?
It was weird.
I don't know about all that. But all
that
I know is...
That makes it even more premeditated, though.
Right.
Oh, it was
if that's the case, I mean...
There's rumor that there was another chick at one time that was pregnant on another one, and she was pregnant with twins, and Lisa was saying she was pregnant with twins. I mean, the deeper you go, the more you find on this. I mean, the bitch is nuts.
They found that she doctored a ultrasound picture.
Yes. She was doctoring ultrasound pictures that she had got off the internet.
I know they say people can hide their bumps or whatever.
No. See, that's... Okay, so that's where this is. This is where it gets...
How does your husband not know? I'm sorry, I don't understand
that. She was
that.
Literally pretending she had morning sickness. She was wearing maternity clothes. She was doing everything to seem like
right,
she was
when
pregnant.
When the cop got there, knowing damn good and well that baby that...
Was a possibility?
In her hand,
yeah.
When she got up to go outside, because supposedly that little video that I sent, you know, she supposedly went outside or whatever to talk to the cop, and the cop got like down on her level, you know, rubbing her hand and everything. When she got up off that couch, she did the waddle like mamas do when after we had our children.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it hurts down there. You know, you have to walk slow. She did the whole bit. He said,
yeah.
So, nuts.
Yeah. So they did confirm, obviously, that it was the baby. The child was released to the father, Zeb Stennett, where he then named her Victoria Jo, which is what Bobby Joe had originally planned to name her. Mm-hmm. She's now 16 years old and alive and well. And that's where the happy ending comes in.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's not happy about what happened, but
it is. But she is with her
father.
She is
with her family.
Yes.
She's with her father. They do keep her pretty private,
though. Oh, yeah,
though.
You can't find nothing.
I mean, at this point, I would not want anything about
my
child
out
there.
They keep
her
very, very private. Lisa, however, was sentenced to death in October of 2007. But, of course, she appealed.
My thing is... It happened in 2004. It took him all the way until 2007 to sentence her.
Well, she was sentenced before then, but then they seeked the death penalty. So she was sentenced for it back in, I think it was 2005, 2006.
Okay. Because I'm saying,
but
you know,
then the state came back to seek the death penalty in 2007, where they did convict her for that. But, of course, she appealed. She appealed in 2008. She was denied. She appealed in 2012. She was denied. Even to the point to where she asked for pardon from Trump. I don't know if you guys remember when Trump was doing all that.
All the pardon. Yeah.
Like for Tiger King and all that crap?
Yeah. Tiger King, Lil Wayne, Kodak Black.
Yeah.
She was part of all that. She asked for a pardon. They say that, you know, they were trying to get that. She was denied. She was then scheduled for execution on December 8th of 2020. That got delayed because her lawyer had actually gotten COVID.
So what the hell does that matter?
Well, you know, constitutional rights and all that fancy stuff. So, you know,
was her actual charges? First degree murder, kidnap? What was her?
It was first degree murder, kidnapping resulting in death.
Okay.
And that's where the difference lies because...
And taking over state lines.
Yeah, and taking over state lines.
Because she went
that's
to
why she
that's
federal.
That's why it became federal.
Yep. Yeah,
that's why because she crossed federal. State lines.
Yep.
But now this is where the fine line gets in with the law and everything is they're trying to claim in one of her appeals, they were trying to claim that it was not death by kidnapping. It was... She didn't die from the kidnapping is what her lawyer was trying to claim. She was claiming Lisa killed her and then felt the need that she had to kidnap the baby to save the baby.
Because, yes, as any good moral human being, I can't leave
the
a
bitch
newborn.
Killed her.
I can't
that's
leave
why
a
she
newborn.
Took,
I have
yeah,
to take her.
But that's what they were going for. They were literally trying to
is
say.
Is the freaking lawyer off the damn rocker as much
but,
as she is?
But no, does I that speak to her mental health? That she literally, in her mind, the thought process was, yeah, okay, she killed her, but she completely put that aside. She seen a baby. She wanted a baby. This is my baby now. I have to save it.
See, that's where, okay, so that's why I put that little tic-tac in that I asked you to hold on to because now, okay, you hear all that and you're like, okay, and this is what the courts were fighting for, mental, all these things she had wrong. But I don't agree.
I think she should still get the death penalty.
No, but I don't agree that we can say that that's what it was. Was she fucked up? Yeah, she was.
Absolutely.
But she premeditated everything about
this.
And didn't
what
they even
the
try saying
she
had that little fucked up idea that, you know...
That she thought
she was...
Yeah.
Pregnancy
whatever them smart people words are that I don't know how to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they thought she was pregnant and her body thought it was. Well, no, bitch, you didn't because she filled out a life insurance policy for her husband prior to going and doing this. And she put on there...
That she wasn't pregnant.
That she wasn't pregnant. So she did not think she was pregnant, obviously, because on the life insurance policy right before this happened...
She said no.
She said she wasn't pregnant.
No. Oh, I definitely think
do
she
you
should
not,
be.
Do you remember this case?
I kind of remember hearing about it, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was right after I had my oldest.
Yeah.
And then right after I had my youngest.
Right.
And
right
dad was like, no,
I do.
Can't.
I do remember hearing about it, but I
like the
never
little
knew
stork
the
in the yard. You
yeah,
know, you can't do be, that, you know. And,
that's what I remember most about it was because you used to do that. Signs out
right,
in front.
Right, and dad
boy,
was like, absolutely not. You better not get a stork. You know, you don't open the door when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your husband's not home, da da da.
Well, I mean, think about it. This is probably one of the, this is a pregnant woman. This is, everyone wants to help and protect. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this probably rocked everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I I feel like this is where it gets really tricky with the whole, you know, they try to do, it's very unfortunate the life that she lived and she was
absolutely
raised as, but that to me does not change the fact that if she did not had all this other stuff, I could maybe say, okay, we need to look into her mental state. But the fact that she had researched how to do this, the fact that she had bought the clamp knowing good and well.
Bought a car seat. Had it in her trunk.
Okay, so I'm not saying the bitch shouldn't have been killed because I don't believe in, you know, I'm whatever, you know, you don't do that kind of shit. But, you know, I fell in the rabbit hole last night. And did some more research. And out of the 25 to 35 cases that I found about fetal abduction in the U.S., she's the only one that got the death penalty.
That concerns me. I mean,
that to me is crazy. Well,
they say that they were trying to get this extended to up until like where Biden would get into office. Because they really believe that...
Because he says that he's going to stop all the federal executions.
Yes, he's going to stop federal executions.
Oh, okay.
So they were trying to get this postponed for as long as possible.
To try to hope it made it to that point.
I mean, the longest one I found in prison for doing this is 100 years. The one down from that is like 30.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
And then to me, they all should have been executed because there was like, you know... There was moms that died. There was babies that died. There was both that died. One that died, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, and they all had it planned out up until just like last year. People, you know, it's from 1974 until last year. There's been 25 to 35 of them.
Jeez, Elise.
That's
not counting the ones that did not, you know, actually get the stomach cut open and all that.
Yeah, and like I mean, her lawyer, I mean, obviously got COVID, so that wasn't something they could plan. But I mean, they tried everything to try to get this thing pushed back as far as they could. She was given an execution on December 23rd. She was given an execution date of January 12th, 2021. They tried to fight that, basically stating that it wasn't in accordance with the law. And that like, while it was on
Trump in office still in January, whatever, 21.
I don't even know when all that happened.
Oh, no, he goes out. He went out of office in February, didn't he? February 12th.
I'm like something like that.
But I know on January 1st, a three-judge panel of the U.S. courts actually denied anything. They denied that, you know, she wasn't stripped of her rights or anything.
So she's done, exhausted everything.
They reinstated
the January
12th. She was transferred to Terry Hughes' death row, which is in Indiana.
So I don't understand that also.
Why was she sent to another
state? Why was she
state?
In Indiana when the shit happened in Missouri? Why wasn't she an art federal person?
Well,
because
ladies,
I told you, sweetheart, ladies, I have not been to bed yet.
Ladies.
What?
I may be working on getting a hold of someone who can help us with the whole entire death penalty, how it works in Missouri, why they would be transported.
Sweet.
So
we're going to talk about federal and state?
We're going to,
I'm going to get some people up in here.
I'm going to pick her brain for everything she's got.
I got some connections, too.
All right.
Yeah.
I want pictures of the inside.
Oh.
Well, you can't get pictures of the inside. Honey, you can't get pictures of the inside of prison. Unless you're taking your ass in there.
Are we sure? Can we ask? Can I just
I done did it.
Can I just call up and ask? Can I have a picture of myself?
No, honey, that you can't even get into the parking lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not with COVID. Can't even get the parking lot. Tried
right
it.
Now.
Tried it. Not happening.
So, yeah. All right, guys. I don't know. That's pretty much all I have. She was executed on January 13th by lethal injection. Third woman in history of federal prison that's been executed.
And she's the only woman, or was the only woman, on death row at the time.
Yes.
I was going to say, do
52
federal,
other
in
women.
In federal prison, though.
In federal. Yeah, in
do
federal.
We know how many women are currently on death row?
52 are on state
on
level
state?
Of death
okay.
row, according to the Death Penalty Information Center.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you have a... Do you have a comfy fact for us this week?
Well, I mean, you know, I ain't been to bed yet, so. And I told you I fell in that rabbit hole last night.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, doing my shit. Every 40 seconds, a child becomes missing in the United States.
40 seconds.
Every 40 seconds. 40.
40.
Oh, my Lord.
According to.
You're talking like TV commercials at some point. Like
not even a minute.
Yeah. Like 40 seconds, that's like a
that's
TV
That's more film. Than my last comfy fact. It was every 96 seconds a person gets raped.
Raped, yeah.
So two children become missing in one time of a person getting raped.
And it's almost under 18.
Under 18.
All these are under 18.
Yes, minors.
Jeez.
According to the National number. Center for Missing and Exploited Children, nearly 800,000 children are reported missing each year in the United States. That's like... more than 2,000 a day.
So, again, like...
Hold up.
This problem
just is...
203 children are kidnapped by family members each year.
Isn't there, like, some movement that's supposed to be, like, protect our kids or something? What the hell is going on with this?
There we are. I don't know, but let me bring you about Missouri, sweeties.
Oh, you got something for Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
It's about our babies.
All right, it's our babies. We need to hear it.
So, as of 2:20 this morning, I'm going to cry. As of 2:20 this morning, we have 619 active missing juveniles in the state of Missouri.
619.
Did I say 219?
No, you said
okay. 619 as of 2:20 this morning.
That was at 2. Now add 40 seconds to the time we are, and that's how many extra.
And I mean, there was,
that is scary.
As I was scrolling, there was two from like 1963 and one from 1968. And the majority of them are, it's like every day in 2021. There was a baby missing, or, you know, they're all babies to me if they're, you know,
right.
Missing younger than us, they're all babies, but they're, you know, right. Every day since January 1st, there was even one for this morning.
You know, I think on the last of this, the thing I want to say here is like, just, you know, watch out for people. Like, these kids are disappearing at freaking alarming rates, and we got cuckoo crazies that are cutting them out of people. And it just, protect our babies, guys. Yep. Like, seriously.
You see a mom who, you know, is struggling with two kids and trying to put the groceries. You ain't going to be
if
weird about it.
If it feels uncomfortable, say something. Like, Jesus, people, don't ignore. There's a reason you feel uncomfortable. That uneasy feeling is for a reason. And
even if it's just to say, okay, I need to kind of pay attention to that a little. Not everything that you feel is going to be. Yeah.
Listen to your children.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's.
Listen to your children.
Yep. That's another thing.
It's very, very important. And we hope that we rambled a lot and I don't care because our children are important.
That's right.
Everybody's important and we all need to watch out for each other.
And these are scary numbers and these are real things that are happening out there.
Yeah. It's happening in our world. It's happening in our town.
Yes.
In our state.
Yes.
And all over the world, not just here. But, I mean, our state. We live here, people. Like, let's be aware of what the hell is going on. So, again, we're going to hope that you guys join us.
I got two phone numbers right quick.
Okay, so,
you know, if you guys know anything, I mean, go take a look. Missing children. And if you guys know anything, you know, for the Kansas City number, it's 1-800-THE-LOSS. Or 911, obviously. The Missing Persons Unit in St. Louis is 1-800-877-3452. I mean, anything.
Tips.
Yep.
Anything.
Right. Anything.
So, again, check us out. Check those out. If you guys know anything, watch your eyes. Check us out on Facebook at Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes on Loco. Same thing on Twitter and our website as well, www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. And we hope that you will listen to us ramble again next week.
Two weeks.
Yeah, let's leave them, ladies, with, you know, our number one thing.
All right. Merchandise is coming soon.
Oh, hey now. Uh-oh.
I'm not going to say when, but all right, soon.
Well, we'll get it there. So, you know,
baby steps.
Yeah. So,
all right. So stay comfy.
Don't get murdered.